Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight is Ian
Nobody
and Aria.
And you can join us online anytime at freetalklive.com. Lots of features are waiting for you on our site. You can download archives that go back for many years over at freetalklive.com. So enjoy those. Plus, if you want to subscribe to our podcast, you can do that. Just go to feeds.freetalklive.com. That'll take you to a page where there are a few different links. There's the main feed, which has everything that we publish. And there's the digest-only feed that has only the Free Talk Live daily digests. And then there's the shows-only feed, which has the full shows, and that's it. You can go to feeds.freetalklive.com, take your favorite feed, and plug it into your favorite podcast client, and you will receive every episode of Free Talk Live as they are released, without even having to go to the website and click and download in the future, which is pretty handy. It's not good for our website views, but that's okay. We want things to be more convenient for you. People don't go to websites anymore.
Dude, I think I've been to our website like twice this year.
But it's there, so you do have to go to the website to get to the feeds at least once. Feeds.freetalklive.com. Check that out when you get a chance. We're talking about NFTs, or non-fungible tokens. Non-fungible meaning they're unique. They cannot be traded for the same thing. There's only one of these things. It's special.
We are talking about NFTs, but the conversation that we've been having, it reminds me so much of the ICOs, the initial coins offering, the initial coin offerings.
Which was a craze a few years ago.
Like 2016, 2017. It was my first real experience with cryptocurrency. I had been aware of Bitcoin and all of that, but it was... That was when I was first getting heavily into it, and I saw this obvious problem of all of these scam ICOs coming out. They weren't all the useless Ethereum token, which was totally upfront. We're a useless Ethereum token. Give us your money. You're not going to get anything useful out of it. There were so many others, like Bitcoin, Silver, or whatever, that just took people's money and then vanished. And they did the same sort of thing here, where they sort of auctioned off a certain number of tokens or whatever. They weren't offering, claiming that the tokens were unique, but they did claim that there was a limited amount of, hey, donate now because you've only got like 3 days left before the auction ends, and then all of the tokens will, you know, be sold or whatever. So the pattern here is just repeating from what was going on 4 or 5 years ago, only now it's NFTs instead of ICOs, and people are still getting scammed out of it. As you said, the people behind this... what is it? What's it called?
So it's called Pixelmon, which means that they're this is a very smart scam, right? Like, and a lot of this con artists out there are very intelligent. They figured, oh, okay, well, Pokemon's huge.
Yeah.
We'll use people's obsession with these cutesy little creatures that like to fight in video games, kind of collect them all, and we'll put out something that evokes those without actually violating Nintendo's copyright.
Yeah, look how easy it was. All they needed was like 4 or 5 pieces of decent artwork.
Yeah.
Nothing too exceptional. You could probably pay a 3D graphic artist $500 to have you have him mock up 5 of these things. They don't have to look great. And then you say, hey, we're working on this game, and this is going to be about this, and it's going to be called this, and we're going to have 10,000 of these different creatures, which, to their credit, I mean, if you're going to scam people, you might as well go big. They didn't go, hey, we're only going to have 1,000, because even Nintendo hasn't come up with like 1,000 different Pokemon. That's a lot of creativity.
Sure.
But this company's like, 10,000. We're going to give all of 10,000 people a unique piece of a unique monster that is 100% theirs. And
they did.
I don't know, man.
Sort of. They gave them something. At least they delivered something.
They were drawn in like paint or something like that, but they look like they were done in crayon. They have a very amateur, crayonish look to them.
They're laughably bad as far as art is concerned, and they look nothing like the teaser art that was released.
No, so it's night and day. It's not even comparable.
A total bait and switch. Why they even bothered sending anything? Why didn't they just send a FU, like a picture of a middle finger, to every single one of these people? I guess the reason is because they wanted them to think they were going to make it right, because one of the admins of this Pixelmon thing calls himself Cyber, S-Y-B-E-R. He claims that they're going to make things right. Quote, no matter how long it takes or how much fear, uncertainty, or doubt occurs, we are committed to delivering on our long-term vision and everything which was set out in our light paper. He posted this on February 26th.
Did you say light paper?
Mm-hmm. L-I-T-E. He posted this. I presume it's called that because it's much shorter than a white paper. I don't know. I've not looked at it.
Wow.
But he posted this on February 26th, which is on the day that people were very disturbed by seeing the actual imagery that they got with this, as he's trying to, you know, backtrack and trying to make people not find him and kill him.
I'm curious now about this white paper, because one of the hallmarks of one of these ICO scams back in the day was that their white paper looked more like a PowerPoint presentation, looked more like a sales pitch than it did any sort of white paper, like a technical document. And I imagine this looks more like a sales document than anything else.
Well, their website is pixelmon.club, presuming it's still online, because this guy has not posted since March 2nd. The last thing he posted was, hey, everyone, we got a call from the head of a major game studio. We're on with them now. We'll reschedule the spaces as soon as we're able. Spaces is a new Twitter meeting thing where you can, like, you know, broadcast your meeting to your followers and such. And that's it. It's been almost a month since this guy has posted after all this outrage. And the Pixelmon Twitter itself has not had an update since before the reveal. So they've said nothing from the official Pixelmon Twitter account.
No, it characterizes this as placeholder art. Is that like a, hey, this is the concept art from which our 3D artists are going to make a 3D monster?
It's not clear what the placeholder art is. This is the reveal. So they say here in this CNET story about this whole debacle is after they mint the NFT, so that's when I guess they determine how many of them there's going to be, and then they, you know, they put it up for sale. Placeholder art shows up in the owner's wallet. So when you buy the thing, you get this whatever placeholder is. Upon the reveal, you then get the actual art that you paid for.
So these little depressed apes or whatever that we saw earlier, that's supposed to be the actual.
Wow, yeah, this is
that's
it.
Even worse. I was hoping that was the placeholder art.
No, they revealed this on February 26th. It's a bit like Pokemon cards, they say. Different NFTs within the same collection are valued based on how scarce their traits are. Just like how a holographic Pokemon card is more valuable than the standard one. So the reveal is essentially the equivalent of opening a booster pack to see what cards you got.
That doesn't matter to the person who's trying to build a good deck, though. It does not matter to the player whether or not their card is holographic
rare
or not.
Mm-hmm.
It matters, is it going to be better than the card that I'm removing?
The art that the holders got, which many had spent over $9,000 worth of cryptocurrency on, was bad enough to become an instant meme. It also tanked the price of the collection. At the time of writing, the floor price, which is the cheapest that an NFT in a set is listed on the OpenSea marketplace, is 0.39 Ether, which is still way too much money.
That is extremely high.
Yeah, we're going to post
I wouldn't pay a penny for one of these things.
We're going to post the link to this on our social media so you can see these for yourself if you're not familiar with them yet. And that'll
that's
be over.
Social.freetalklive.com.
Thank you. Yeah. So going on. Pixelmon is one of many NFT projects that aims to do more than just provide art. Many are leaning into play-to-earn gaming with NFTs of characters or monsters required to play. Pokemon is a common inspiration for such games, including Axie Infinity, which is the most popular P2E play-to-earn game yet. Other collections also try to create value by creating a digital world, a metaverse, in which NFTs can be used to create one of one avatars. I'm not sure what they're trying to say there. Or to allow for ownership of virtual real estate. Like cryptocurrency and standard NFT trading, though, prices are volatile. Now, in the case of the real estate, that makes more sense to me. We've talked about the quote-unquote metaverse, these digital lands, like, what's the one? Decentraland is one of them, and Sandbox is another. These are two that are backed by a cryptocurrency where there's a purportedly finite amount of land. Obviously, that can be expanded probably by a vote of the decentralized organization behind it. But certain land is valued higher than others, right? The land in the game where more people come to is going to be more valuable than the land on the outskirts or whatever, where hardly anybody goes. And so seeing those things being sold for different prices, those are NFTs, technically. They're unique. But at least there, you get to see what you're buying in advance of actually putting the money down. Unlike these collections where you have no idea what you're going to...
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Now, some people like a good surprise, right? Like, that's for instance, Bonnie likes to get surprises, right? Like my girlfriend, she enjoys a good surprise. But this is the kind of surprise that I just don't think anyone would like. Who wants to spend $7,000 to $9,000 on a piece of art and you don't even know what you're going to get?
I mean, they do have these packages, right, where you, like, subscribe for $50 a month or whatever.
And every month
you just get, like, some random stuff in the mail, and you're surprised because, oh, look, I wasn't expecting a new bracelet or whatever.
It's a bunch of stuff I don't want. I don't understand the appeal of that. But yes.
But some people like it, you know. So, oh, yeah, I could totally use this one day. And then they, you know, put it on a shelf and forget about it. But, you know, for whatever reason, some people like that.
Yeah. It's enough people like it to where these businesses are making money.
But that's only $50.
Yeah.
Right. We're talking like $7,000 to $9,000.
And for some people, this is a life-changing amount of money.
Yes. And this is on the low end of what some of these NFTs cost.
Right. So we're talking about a collection called Pixelmon that came out at the end of February after a whole bunch of, like, hubbub. Now, I didn't hear anything about this. I don't pay attention to the NFT universe.
They stole the name, from what I can tell, as well.
Oh, yeah, you were looking that up.
Yeah, that's why I was so confused during the last segment, because when you look up Pixelmon, it goes to a Minecraft mod that merges Minecraft with Pokemon. And they were so good at it, they got a cease and desist from the company that actually creates Pokemon. So they just modified it. I think they call it Pixelmon Generations or something. It still exists, though. So if you look up Pixelmon, you're going to find this totally legitimate mod that is free, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And then for most people, they're going to see this NFT and they're going to think, oh, okay, I've heard of Pixelmon or whatever. Or they're going to Google and they're going to go, okay, well, they look legit, right? They've had this product for years.
Smart move. Again, yeah. These guys are very, very cunning in what they did here. They used the people's love of Pokemon, and then they borrowed, apparently, off of a popular Minecraft mod in order to sell 10,000 of these NFTs, which apparently it's not unusual the way they did it. According to the story at CNET.com, they sell the NFTs, then they have the reveal date where you then find out what you got. And they claim here that the reason why some NFTs are valued higher than others is because some of the, quote, traits are more scarce than others.
That's so insane. Hey, look, you're buying this thing, but we're not going to tell you what it looks like or what you're getting until after you've already bid on it. Because these were auctions. Each one of these pieces was auctioned off, right?
I think so. If you buy a pig and a poke, you're going to get poked like a pig.
They explain how it worked. They started with 10,000, and they started with a price of, I think it was 3 Ethereum, or 3 Ether. And then every some amount of time, minute or whatever, the price would drop by 0.1. So basically, everybody kind of piled in as quickly as they could if they were insane about this project.
So it was similar to an auction, except you were racing against time.
I don't think anybody was insane about this project who was involved with it.
It's insane. Right, race against time. You know they're going to probably run out because people are crazed. And so if you want in, the sooner you get in, the more likely you are to get one of these things. And they sold out within an hour.
Yeah, and
the price didn't get below. Yeah, the price didn't go below 2.6 Ethereum, apparently. So roughly $7,000 to $9,000 worth of crypto. But back to the story here from CNET.com. So Cyber, the pseudonymous creator, okay, so we don't know who he is, of Pixelmon, admitted the reveal went poorly in the project's Discord server. Most NFT business takes place on Discord. He said, "I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We made a horrible mistake. This is unacceptable. We felt pressured to push reveal, and the reality is we weren't ready to push the artwork. This does not represent the brand, and we will fix this, as we have let many people down with this reveal."
I'm surprised he stuck around long enough to make that statement. Yeah.
It's a total load. I mean, it doesn't
make
any sense.
No one ever hears another word from this guy.
And if you check his Twitter profile, he hasn't spoken in 4 weeks at this point. But
he's got a new Twitter profile, I'm sure.
Pushing a new scam?
He probably doesn't need to at this point, right?
Yeah. This isn't a mistake. I don't think that this guy could claim he didn't know what the artwork was, right?
He was the one selling it. Yeah. He was bound to have known.
Right. Somebody knew what they were loading up in whatever system.
Maybe he bought a pig and a poke.
Could be. He said $2 million will be spent to completely revamp the art. The Pixelmon team, which is fully pseudonymous, has also partnered with Magic Media, a video game development studio.
I wonder what Magic Media says about that.
The story doesn't quite end there, though. The Pixelmon art reveal was such a public failure that it spawned an icon, or at least a meme, in Kevin, the turtle creature that became the face of the reveal. Kevin is the actual name given to him by Pixelmon developers.
I don't know that I've seen Kevin.
He's the ugly green, goofy-looking thing that's got his eyes kind of mismatched and crossed-looking weird.
Weren't there a few of those?
There's a bunch of uglies. They even put, there's a meme here that they took the image of Kevin and they put him on Time Magazine as the person of the year. So the internet had fun with this, for sure, but the poor bastards who paid $9,000, it's hard to feel sorry for
them. I did not realize that was supposed to be a turtle.
Right.
Just looks like turtles.
I thought it was like a zombie or something, right?
It's not merely that Kevin has become a social media meme. Kevin has become an asset unto himself. The floor price of Pixelmon's NFT collection, that is the cheapest you can buy, is 0.39 Ether. The floor price of Kevin is 4.75 Ether. Not only that, Kevin has become the star of his own derivative art collections. There's The Lives of Kevin, essentially a set of motivational posters with Kevin's head superimposed onto the heads of iconic figures, which for a few hot moments on Monday was the top trending collection on OpenSea. Some sold for as high as 0.295 Ether, or about $860 worth of crypto.
Now, can the poor bastard who bought Kevin now turn around and sue all the people who are using that image in their art?
Then there's Kevin Punks, a play on CryptoPunks, a set of 8-bit NFTs that regularly go for six figures. Kevin Punks currently has a floor price of 0.85, or just under $2,500. It's an example of how NFTs allow meme culture to be commoditized, if only for an afternoon. Not everyone was upset with the Pixelmon they received. Pixelmon's roadmap states that the game, which will be browser-based, will launch at the end of the year. Some are hopeful the ship will be righted by then.
Hold your breath.
Yeah. Given that the project has not communicated anything at all from their official Twitter channel in more than a month at this point, since the last post on Twitter was before this reveal happened. So everything on Twitter is all the run-up to the big moment, and then nothing.
Yeah, they're in Acapulco or something.
Yeah, it's over.
I mean, what would you say after you shared Kevin the turtle with the world?
I
mean,
I wouldn't. I have integrity.
I would have no worse after revealing that abomination to the world. I'm just like, yeah. Sorry. That's it. That's all I got. It's sorry.
No, that's not what a person with integrity does. A person with integrity says, all right, well, the artist we hired to do this was garbage, and we're really disappointed in this, and we're going to postpone until we get this right. But no, that's not what this was about. This was about taking people's money, $70 million worth of Ethereum, from these people who wanted to buy a piece of artwork they'd never seen before. I mean, this just doesn't make any sense.
The pool of his money is soon parted. If you buy artwork you've never seen, you deserve what you get.
What you get, that's a great point. There are some NFTs that you can actually see before you buy them, so they're not all done like this, but still, I don't get it. It's free time.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
You USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
No regrets. However, President Biden did clarify that his remarks from Saturday that his Russian counterpart cannot remain in power was his personal opinion and not an official policy calling for a regime change in Russia.
I was expressing moral outrage that I feel, and I make no apologies for it.
Biden made the remarks during his address in Poland as he was rallying support for Ukraine. Meantime, Ukrainian forces have claimed to have retaken a suburb of Kyiv and an eastern town from Russian forces. It comes ahead of talks to be held in Istanbul. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said his country is prepared to declare its neutrality and is open to compromise on the fate of the Donbas region. Wall Street closed higher on Monday, though the price of crude oil fell sharply. The Dow was up 95 points. The NASDAQ was up 186 points. The S&P 500 gained 32. This is USA Radio News. At least three people were killed and more than a dozen were hurt as several vehicles crashed into each other during a snow squall in Pennsylvania. It happened on Interstate 81 in northeastern PA. Emergency officials believe the squall clouded visibility and likely contributed to the crash. At least 40 vehicles were involved, including multiple tractor trailers. China has begun its most extensive COVID-19 lockdown in 2 years. Officials there will conduct mass testing and address a growing outbreak in Shanghai as part of its zero COVID strategy. The citywide lockdown is expected to be conducted in two phases. The financial district will be locked down through Friday, while a vast part of its downtown area will start a five-day lockdown on Friday. Actor Will Smith has apologized to comedian Chris Rock for slapping him Sunday during the 94th Annual Academy Awards. This year's Oscar winner for Best Actor said he was out of line and that his actions are, quote, not indicative of the man I want to be. You're listening to USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best, deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
The number is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. In the studio with you tonight, you've got Ian.
Nobody.
And Aria.
And you can join us online. Just head over to freetalklive.com. All the features on our site are free. And we'll look forward to maybe seeing you at ForkFest 2022. It's going to be the sixth annual ForkFest happening at Rogers Campground, same place it always has, in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. It's a great excuse to come up, check out New Hampshire, meet some of the people that may be your neighbors when you make the move up here as part of either the Free State Project or maybe just want to come up independently without joining anything. You can do that. ForkFest is a decentralized libertarian camping festival, and what that means is there's no ticket price because there's no organization, there's no bureaucracy, there's no organizer, there's no central control. You just do whatever it is that you want to do while you're on the campground. Maybe you want to provide a thing for other people to do, whether that be karaoke or a party
party tent or, you know, a poker game, whatever you think that needs to happen, you can make it happen. Or you can just go and hang out with other freedom-minded people for a week in the woods.
Nobody's in charge.
Exactly right. It's a week after the Porcupine Freedom Festival, which is a more organized setup, and it's also way more popular. So if you want to attend the Porcupine Freedom Festival, you better get your tickets soon because they're nearing sellout status of that event. It did sell out last year. It's most certainly going to sell out again this year.
They're not sellouts. They just you know, look a little straighter than we do.
It's a great event. I got nothing bad to say about the Porcupine Freedom Festival.
I know, I love
it's a great event. I'm hoping to attend both of those festivals this year.
I never miss a year unless I'm in jail.
Yeah. I wasn't in jail this year, but they kept me in house jail during the Porcupine
Freedom
Festival.
You're in jail, more or less.
They wouldn't let me go up even for a day. So hopefully that'll change this year, and you can go with or without me. Either way, you're going to have a good time, I think, at either the Porcupine Freedom Festival or ForkFest, or both, if you can attend both. To attend ForkFest, all you have to do is reserve your motel room, which most people don't do because there's also camping sites and RV sites, a lot of them available June 27th through July 3rd.
Are there a lot of them available?
At ForkFest,
for
yes.
ForkFest. Oh, okay.
At the Porcupine Freedom Festival, no. They are completely sold out at this point. You'll have to share a site with somebody that already has one if you want to attend the Porcupine Freedom Festival. So check out ForkFest.party. You can learn more about the event. That is an unofficial website. There's links there to chat rooms where you can connect with other attendees. There's also a forum link there as well, and I think even an email list. ForkFest.party. As we continue here, we're talking about some digital phenomena, I suppose, things that are really popular, getting a lot of attention in the media. NFTs, of course, have been blowing up over the last year or so, and maybe they're finally leveling off, but I still see stuff about them everywhere. All these corporations left and right are talking about how they're selling NFTs now, and but it's not just NFTs. Now
I still magically got NFTs for a concert that, you know, I had tickets for it. I didn't.
You still don't know how to get them.
No, I don't know how to redeem them. And, you know, I'm not ignorant when it comes to cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
But not that
you can't do it anyway.
Can't do it anyway, and I have no desire to do it anyway, but there's no clear. All I know is that Ticketmaster says that I have three NFTs now. It's like, whoopee! Great!
What is it, like an image of the ticket?
I have no idea. It doesn't even say. It just says NFT. It's slightly less than what these people got when they bought one of these Pixelmon. They at least
stands
got
for
art.
No freaking thought.
Virtual commemorative tickets, NFT ticket. Man, I was just looking here. You never looked it up. You never tried.
I didn't care to. Okay. It's just a stupid NFT. It's just Ticketmaster jumping on the NFT bandwagon, right?
It's just marketing.
Yeah, I don't care. It's just stupid.
Anyway,
like the metaverse.
There's a whole frequently asked questions about NFTs now on the Ticketmaster website.
they're irredeemable, unusable, commemorative NFT about the ticket that you bought.
And here's the thing.
Also known,
is it an ugly gorilla, though?
It's also known as a ticket stub, right? Like, if you wanted to commemorate going to a concert, just keep the ticket stub.
That's the thing. That's what they're trying to do with these NFTs, is make online collectibles, digital collectibles, and I'm somebody who I'm not a fan of collectibles generally, but I understand why people like them. I have had them in the past. I've had collectible things, and I've sold most all of them.
I like digital collectibles a lot more than I do physical collectibles.
Why? Because they don't take
up
space?
They don't take space, yes. Like, I can have 10
but
billion.
But yet you don't like NFTs.
No, because they're stupid. Right.
What's the difference between a digital collectible and an NFT? Aren't those
like
what is a digital collectible that isn't an NFT?
Well, I don't mind the fact that they're NFTs. I mind that they're overhyped and that people are paying too much for them and people are saying that they're unique and they're not actually buying pieces of artwork.
So the theory behind the NFT is fine.
Right.
I see.
But like World of Warcraft, I have a lot of unique outfits for my characters and I like them. You know, I could probably go through and, you know, say, hey, I'm never going to use this particular cloak or whatever. Just delete it from the outfit collection, but it doesn't take up any space.
Sure.
So I like it, right?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. You like the being able to customize a game character. So you, when you're playing
sure,
a game,
anything, right?
you look the way you want to look and the way you want to portray yourself. But
I have 30 different, you know, copies of the original Zelda as well on my PC, and they're all just slightly different. One would say, oh, you got 30 copies of the original Zelda. Well, no, I don't, because that would take up an extreme amount of space.
I get what you're saying. But when you give the example of wearing digital clothing in an online video game, that at least is something that you're utilizing, right? It's a you play sure. this game, so you spend time there, and you want to portray yourself to the other the players in the game, or if it's a single-player game, just yourself in a way that can represent you. But having an NFT of a ticket to a concert is just like something like you put in your own little personal NFT scrapbook, and then do you ever look at it? Do you ever look at the personal NFT of your Ticketmaster ticket and then say, you know, reminisce about the concert that you went to? I mean, do people do this?
I wouldn't, but I thought the whole thing was stupid. I never looked into what I actually got. So
that's the
maybe
example.
You can sell it to some idiot for $8,000.
I would be more inclined to, like, look through old pictures or whatever of these concerts that I went to, going, oh, yeah, that was a good time, wasn't it, or whatever. Right. But even then, that only because it's a digital copy. I don't want a scrapbook of all of, you know,
of printed actual photos.
Yeah, that takes up too much space, and I don't want to have anything to do with it.
See, I think that maybe we're just unusual as far as collectors are concerned, or because
memories are valuable,
well,
right?
You're unusual collectors in that you're not collectors.
I'm not. Well, she says she collects some online things.
I don't go out of my way to collect mm-hmm. them, right?
Well, part of physical collections is being seen, right? Like, somebody that has a collection of Star Wars toys that are worth thousands or tens of thousands of dollars or whatever, every now and then they bring somebody into their little room where they have their collection of Star Wars toys, and if that person is a Star Wars fan, they'll probably care. If they aren't a Star Wars fan, then they'll say, oh, that's nice, and then, you know, they move to the next room of the house or whatever.
Or they go, man, this is kind of weird. Why do you have so much Star Wars stuff?
right.
If it's you or me, we go, man.
What a waste of space. Yeah. But, right, to me, like, it's just things that collect dust, and I don't want, you know, to have to dust more things. But I get why people want to have a collection.
I get it.
There's a thing that people do is they fill spaces, right? So, like, if you have a space, it gets filled with stuff. That's just what people do, and then they die, and then they're then the people that are their loved ones then have to do something with all of this stuff.
Like the last 3 minutes of the show, I'm just going to clip those, and this is the good one I listen to every day when I first wake up. People collect stuff, they fill up space, and then they die.
So that's the nice thing about the digital thing is, like, when you pass away, no one's ever going to be able to clean up your digital mess because you're the only one who had access to it in the first place.
And no one's ever going to need to clean it up anyway because it's not in anyone's way.
Right, so that makes sense from your perspective. But from the perspective of the collector who wants to show off their digital wares, it makes no sense whatsoever. Right? You can't take somebody
into
your
digital room. Why are you buying things in order to show them off, though? I think we're getting into the root of the problem here is that people are trying to buy things in order to show them off.
Why else would you spend $800,000 on a piece of artwork and then put it on your Twitter profile?
Because they want it. That's why I would buy it.
They want to show it off. There's more coming up here. It's Free Talk Live.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here with you tonight, you've got Ian
and Aria
talking about some of the new things that are happening in the world of the internet. NFTs, which none of us in the studio really understand the insane craze surrounding them. We've talked about that for quite a bit. But we're going to get into the latest metaverse story. There's been a lot of pimping in the mainstream media of this idea of the metaverse, which is just a new word for virtual reality. That is going to be expanding beyond the gaming world, essentially. So it's not just video games now that we'll be using virtual reality. It might be a meeting for your workplace or a shopping trip to Walmart or whatever else they've got in store. Or in this case, Aria,
a vacation.
A vacation where you don't actually have to leave your couch.
No, and in the article's defense, it points out that this is a... sad and kind of depressing. And forget jumping on a plane and packing your sunscreen. Robots could one day go on holiday for us while we stay at home.
And who's writing this?
This is from The Sun.
Okay.
Of course, many of us want to properly lounge on a beach and see the sights. But scientists in Italy have shown how it can be done with a man more than 185 miles away from his avatar. And then it shows a picture of him suited up with an Oculus, and he's got some sort of metal bars attached to his head. So it doesn't look as a very
It looks very uncomfortable.
Yes. As well as some sort of gloves. And there's a creepy-looking robot thing, but it looks like that came from a movie. I don't think that's actual footage of the robot that was used. Dude, if somebody saw this creepy thing walking down the streets, they would break it with a baseball bat. Hmm. It looks like it belongs in a horror movie or like it's on its way to murder someone. Instead of battling through tourists in Venice, the robot did the hard work for him while he remained on the other side of the country in Genoa. though he didn't just sit around. To make it as realistic as possible, he was suited up with loads of sensors, a VR headset, and a walking board, which are all mimicked by the iCube, robot on location. They do have a link here, so I get to click that and see what the actual robot looks like.
I think this
like.
Is the robot. The images are from the Italian whatever.
It's a creepy looking thing, dude.
It's got like a sort of like a baby face look to it.
I guess they are a lot more laid back in Italy, because I can't see one of those wandering the streets of the United States and managing to make it out of one piece. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason they made the robotic dogs, like, hydraulic and capable.
You can't knock them over.
Right.
Yeah.
With the iCube robot, the user can not only see everything in real time, but can also touch and feel. The robot will even smile whenever you do. It's not getting any less creepy. Experts behind it believe that it could one day be used to transport our senses to the metaverse as well. The 1.25 meter tall prototype struts around on two legs following your every movement.
Did you say 125 meters tall?
1.25 meters.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, all of a sudden it sounded fun for a minute.
So it's 4 feet tall.
Ah, chicks dig giant robots.
It copies smiles, talks, and handshakes. So when a guide hugs the avatar in Venice, or the robot in Venice,
you can almost feel the warmth.
They're calling the robot an avatar, and that's throwing me off a bit. The operator in Genoa felt it, thanks to haptic feedback technology.
Sure, imagine the...
How many people want to hug a creepy robot, though?
That's weird, number one. A 4 foot tall robot, by the way, that looks like a little baby, The haptic feedback, is it anything like the haptic feedback in the PlayStation controller, the little thing that goes bzzz, like in your cell phone? I mean, what are we talking about here? What does that even mean?
It's unclear, but it's only connected to him around his waist, so I can't imagine he is wearing some sort of suit. Mm. But I can't imagine his haptic feedback like we would expect to receive.
Well, I guess if somebody was 4 feet tall, they would hug you around your waist.
Yeah.
It probably makes him feel some sort of pressure in his back, you know, simulating someone's hands on his back or something to that effect. But it's
probably rather really get a massage myself.
Yeah, it can't be very close based on what I'm seeing. On the one hand, the recent pandemic taught us that advanced telepresence systems might become necessary very quickly.
If you're stupid enough to stay indoors.
Right.
That was said by research lead Danielle Pucci from the Italian Institute of Technology. On the other hand, avatars, robots, may allow people with severe disabilities to work and accomplish goals in the real world via the robotic body. And I guess that's a good use for this technology, right? But I also don't want to live in a world where we take all the disabled people and we throw an Oculus Rift on them and make them live their lives as robots. Mm. That doesn't seem to me like much of an improvement over just accepting the disabled person and their limitations and their, you know, needs and abilities.
Mm. Well, the thing is, that's not up to us. It's up to them.
Sure.
If they see some advantage in doing it, let them do it.
Sure, but I live in a world that historically doesn't give people that level of autonomy, where it's like they would rather, I would imagine, the disabled people be put into these Oculus things to exist as robots. But that's speculation on my part. You're right. This may be an evolution of rehabilitation and prosthetics technologies. What I also see in our near future is the application of this system to the so-called metaverse, which is actually based on immersive and remote human avatars.
So you can have a fake cartoon robot walking around for you someplace you're not in, a universe you're not in.
Yeah, which I at least get, right? Because the digital world doesn't follow the rules of the real world. Like, I don't see the point of this, because I could just go to Italy or whatever. I mean, especially if they're in Genoa. They're already in Europe, presumably. I guess that's where Genoa is. They could probably just go to Italy and walk around. I think it said they were 100 miles away, actually.
I mean, in theory, this could be cheaper than a flight and a hotel in Italy.
Yeah. I mean, in the same way that watching a movie on your phone is cheaper and easier than going to the movies to watch it.
Yeah, it's not going to be the same experience, and it's going to be a shadow of the same experience. I mean, for somebody that's bound to a hospital bed, this makes sense. I get it, right? Like, you are a terminally ill patient. You're never going to be able to move again. You're going to spend the last few months of your life in a hospital room. This could give you some sort of respite to that. Like, you get to go walk through the streets of Venice as this this avatar. And I can also give you a real-life example of where something like this came in handy. And I actually saw this. This was years ago, before any of the robot side of things. It was Roger Ver, who had left, one of our sponsors, he runs Bitcoin.com, and he quit the United States. He rescinded his citizenship, went through that whole arduous process, paid six figures to the U.S. government in order to do it. And so, obviously, he didn't want to come back to the United States after that, because he's no longer a citizen. He would have to go through whatever, you know, immigration, visa application, etc., and then they might not like it, and they might even arrest him when he came here, right, for some other cooked-up nonsense.
They probably don't take it very well when someone renounces their citizenship and then tries to come back to visit.
So, well, especially somebody
there. I think they call that manumission when you're a slave and you buy your freedom.
Is that right? I didn't know there was a word for it.
Yeah.
So, anyway, he did that. But then some Bitcoin conference happened, and they wanted Roger to be at the conference. And so he told them, there's no way in hell I'm coming back to the United States. And so what they did was they cooked up a, what did they call those things? They're like those devices you can stand on and kind of lean forward, and it goes forward. There's a name for it, and it's escaping me right now. It's got wheels on it.
Oh, a Segway.
Segway. That's it. Thank you. So they had a Segway, or the equivalent of it, at this conference, and there was like a tablet mounted to the top of the Segway that had Roger Ver on like a video conference on the tablet, and Roger had some sort of a controller to where he could actually remote control the Segway to, you know, go around the conference room, basically. So Roger was able to attend the conference without actually having to physically come to this location and put himself at risk.
Not really curious when this was, because South Park did an episode on this. I mean, they did their episode on this years ago as well, but they had one of the kids, you know, do exactly this with a Segway, and I think an iPad.
Yep, that happened.
So, except maybe they didn't use a Segway. Maybe they pulled it with like a little red wagon or something. I don't remember now, but it was the same basic idea of, hey, they can't be here in person, so we're going to set them up with an iPad, and that's how they're going to trick or treat with us.
And it worked. You know, and
it did.
And in that case, it makes sense.
And it kept him out of jail.
Right. Well, I don't know if they were going to arrest him or not, but he didn't want to find out.
I would not put it past the American government.
They'll arrest anybody.
Yeah, so I haven't...
Well, they arrested nobody.
It's true. If they'll arrest nobody, they can arrest you, too. So that's the story. I think it is definitely... This is definitely has those hallmarks of sort of like virtual reality did back in the 90s, where everybody was predicting that this was going to be the next big thing, and it became absolutely nothing. So I suspect this is going to be kind of the same thing, where there's a ton of predictions about, ooh, look at this technology, and almost no one will adopt it.
It's going to crash and burn like NFTs. That's my guess.
All right. Back tomorrow night. You can join us online in the meantime over at freetalklive.com, and don't forget the AMPS program at amps.freetalklive.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now, because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.